tied your, like, you got your tongue tied. And
then I did that to myself. So yeah. I was like, I want to know what that feels like. And we found this, like, master lock, and it was, like, the perfect thing. It just was, like, industrial enough, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Sweet Release.
Okay. Hi, sweets. Welcome back to Sweet Release. I'm Barbie Jean, your host, and today I am very excited. I have Miss Kit here today.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. It's my pleasure.
I appreciate it. We're talking about, you know, we actually met. We met at the play, which I've had the founder of the play on here before, and so most of my listeners know what that is, but you were being suspended with rope, and I got the opportunity to be one of the select few to pour some hot wax on you, which, so we've met briefly. That was really the extent of our our hang time. So I appreciate you coming on for us, or for me even, to get to know you more. And you're not only into being a rope bunny and being on the kind of submissive, suspended side, but you also teach it and you've studied it and all of that. So could you give us a little background about, well, I would love to know a little bit more about you too, but maybe just how you came into that space.
For sure. Yes. So actually the play and Shibari kind of went hand in hand for me. I was married for a very long time and I ended up getting a divorce and it was time for me to explore after that.
Yeah.
And I had a partner who asked me, they're like, can I tie you up? And I was like, for sure. You know, I was like, this is all I wanted for so long. And so he tied me up. And he's like, do you want to go to a sex party? And I said, yes. And he's like, can I tie you up at the sex party? And so I was enamored. I was very excited. And it just so happened that it was the play. And that was about like 5 or 6 years ago at this point. And so I did my first Shibari performance at the play at my first sex party ever. And it was such an amazing experience. And of course, like as soon as the rope hit me, like on my skin and I got that connection, it was amazing. I was hooked. And then I was teaching myself how to tie. I was like tying on myself a lot. I would ask people to come and like be bodies for me. One of the owners of the play being one of them, I was like, can I just practice? I need to practice. And so, and then of course COVID hit. And then at one point I was like, I'm a dancer. So I was like making this makeshift tie on my pointe shoe and I was like stretching my feet and I made a video of it and I posted it on Instagram and a rigger, my very first person to suspend me, hit me up, was like, oh my God, and you're a dancer. We have to tie. And so I did. And it was like that gateway, right? It's like, I mean, of course it's really wonderful to have like floor bondage or rope bondage in the bedroom or something along those lines. But the component of suspension for me was so grounding in a way. So I, you know, then all I wanted to do was be suspended. And, that journey took off about 3 years ago and I was a bottom for a very long time. Like even though I was tying myself, and then I ended up getting some bamboo installed at my place and, allowed me to suspend myself more, suspend other people. So about a year ago, I wanted to start tying people and giving them a similar experience that I was having, you know what I mean? And creating a safe space. There's not too many, at least in LA, there's not too many like femme presenting tops. And so I feel like that was a missing component there and I'm happy to fill it. And, and of course I've been studying the whole time. Like, I mean, through online resources, which are a great place to start, but then of course in person is really where you get the most, I would say, gains from, you know? So, and then at the beginning of this year, so I'm a pretty new teacher, but I have begun instructing as a bottom at DMS, so at Devil Mass Society. My rope top, Delilah, DK Blackfish, they are the ones who typically lead, but I then give the perspective of a bottom. And then just last week, I led my first introductory course as a teacher, as the primary teacher. And then I had a bottom with me, a model, to help like show both how you can do some introductory Shibari stuff on yourself and then also on somebody else. And that was a great success with Stock Room. It was great. I loved it. It was so much fun. I was so nervous because of course it was my first time leading, right? So I was like, am I going to fuck this up? Like, I don't know. I'm allowed to curse. Is that okay?
Oh yeah, please.
Okay, fine.
You can say whatever you want.
Great. So it was, and that's, you know, that's kind of where we're at now. And it's like, I'm trying to figure out what I guess, like, what makes the most sense for me moving forward? Because I also love performing, you know? And it's like, I can't have rope be completely taking over my life because it's, you know, even though it's a passion and it's something that I really enjoy, it's not like the major financial thing in my life, or it's like, you know what I'm saying? So it's, I'm trying to figure that all out right now.
Yeah, just to figure out your next move. Well, yeah. First of all, congrats on your first.
It's very fun.
That's amazing. Yeah. I taught like a very small, I did a couples retreat, and it was mostly just like little workshops here and there, but it was a very introductory knots just to get people comfortable with like rope on their skin and, and tapping into that. But suspension is like a completely different level and I've never experienced it, but it's so...
Is it something you're interested in?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you say you got like bamboo installed, like, did you have to get like these rings and like...
Yeah. So there are hard points. And then I use carabiners that I can hold up to a bajillion things of weight, like not really, but you know, enough, you know, support. And they went into my attic and they were, my friend is he does this professionally. So he was in my attic and he made some reinforcements. So that way we, you know, weren't going to take the roof down, the ceiling down. And then hanging onto the carabiners, I have the rope. So it makes it really easy for me to latch it on and off. Mm-hmm. And otherwise it just looks like little hook, like big hook, like, well, little, about this big hooks in my ceiling that, you know, could have planters on them. So I love it. And I have two that kind of are like this shaped in my house. So it like gives us a little bit of opportunity to play around with different shapes. It's very fun. I love it. I love it. And my riggers that come over also really love it. And I get suspended there too. And
And you can say you can suspend yourself.
I can.
Which is,
yeah, not as fun for me, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, some people are amazing at it and I adore them and like kudos, you know, but it was never something that really interested me enough. It's something I will do if I'm like, I need to be in rope and I need to like reground myself and just like focus on my breathing and kind of stabilize, I suppose, in a way.
Yeah, and newbies probably shouldn't do that. You should always.
I would not advise. And you know, I've even heard people be like, you shouldn't self-suspend unless you have somebody else there, because what if something were to go wrong? You know, like but that's part of your risk profile. So.
Yeah, what are some of the lessons you've learned as you've like dove into this? Obviously like boundaries are so important and like safe words and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you've learned?
Vetting. I think that's the big thing. You know, as somebody who I was like goo-goo-eyed, you know what I mean? I was like looking at all these people who were established, at least I felt like they were established, been doing it for a very long time in the rope community. You know, it was one of those things where you kind of assume safety of individuals that they maybe interact with or that they've tied with, or, you know, other bottoms that you know that have tied with tops, et cetera, right? It's like the whole safety through association a bit. But that's not the case. And you shouldn't assume that. And so that's like a lesson that I had to learn, right? It's vetting in a more constructive way, reaching out to the bottoms or tops. You know, I think that it needs to go both ways. You know, there's a big focus on like vetting your rigger, but the riggers need to also be vetting their bottoms. You know, it's like they could end up having somebody coming in here that like at the one wrong, like maybe they didn't like the way that the rope felt, or they didn't like the way that you touched their hair. You know, it's like, how are you going to respond? Like, I need to know that as your top. I need to know, like, are we both going to be able to communicate? Like, how do we handle any kind of issues that arise, et cetera, et cetera. You need to make sure there's alignment there, right? And like the plate is this really good thing with dibs, right? Your desires, your intentions, and your boundaries. And that's something that I've also incorporated into like a vetting processes for myself with rope, because that's it. It's important. It's like, if I don't desire to be affectionate with you, if it's more going to be like a mechanical thing, we need to make sure we're both on the same page for that. Right.
Yeah. There's definitely has to be like a big process. I like that leading up to it.
Yeah.
Cause you, and unfortunately there are, people, and it's hard not to make assumptions when you see this beautiful art that people are creating and, you know, they have a big following or whatever it is.
Exactly.
But yeah, there are a lot of people out there that are not going to respect you and that aren't professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been warned before and I was like, whatever. You know what I mean? And I was like, just fed myself to the fucking wolves. And, you know, I was like, God, I should have listened. You know, it's like one of those things. It's like, you know, maybe take your friend's words for a little bit. You're not like this special anomaly that's going to happen in this other person's life who is like a repeated pattern of behaviors. You know what I mean? Oh, so it's like, you got to be careful with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, those types of people still practice rope, you know, and it's a bummer, but.
So did you get like hurt or was it just more of an uncomfortable?
Yeah. So I've not really been physically hurt. Like there's like wrist drop and like foot drop and stuff like that. And there's like a bunch of nerve damage that can obviously happen as well. And I've had that happen before, but that wasn't the case with this. It was more of somebody's intentions not being pure.
Yeah.
And like actions and words not aligning. And it just turned out that they were kind of a shitty person, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a shame because sometimes the rope is really great. But that doesn't justify anything of their behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good lesson.
Yeah. So I think that's, you know, it's really, really it. And like just knowing that, actually that's it. That's it. Yeah. We're good there. Yeah.
You know, yeah. You talked about like nerve damage a little bit, but I have seen some pictures of you where like the bruising that's a thing in this space where people love to get all that blood rush to certain areas of their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I specifically saw this one of your tongue.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So you tied your, like you got your tongue tied. And
yeah. And I did that to myself. So yeah. I was like, I want to know what that feels like. And we found this like master lock and it was like the perfect thing. It just was like industrial enough. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't actually realize that my tongue was turning so purple until after. And I remember the photographer's like, I'm so sorry that I didn't like communicate this better. That I was like, is your tongue okay? And I was like, well, I don't know what you mean. Like, it was so fascinating. And then after I ended up having this really like this numbing sensation, it was almost like getting your tongue pierced, right? And like having that weird, like swollen, almost, it was like, I don't know, it was like a phantom tongue ring essentially is what I was having an experience of. And yeah, no, I love that kind of stuff. And there is a lot of circulation restrictions that are happening when you're doing rope. Like, I mean, sometimes I'll have purple arms, you know what I'm saying? Or like, it'll be purple from like my knee down because of the way that the rope is being placed on my body and being restricted and stuff like that. Right. Which I know a lot of people are like, oh my God. Right. But circulation is really not the biggest concern. Like you can withstand that for quite some time. Every body is different, of course. So you got to make that caveat and like, you should know your body and like communicate with your rigor, et cetera, et cetera. But it's the nerve stuff that really got to work. You got to watch out for.
Yeah. So that's completely different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seeing it can be very daunting sometimes, or even watching you get suspended. Like it's hard to not be like, oh my God, like she's been up there for so long. Like, you know, like it's hard not to get in your head and be like, dang, but you were just like grinning. Well, you also had this little like mask on, which is cute. So that was like another little sensory deprivation thing that I was like, ooh, fun.
Yeah.
Is that something that you often do?
Like, I very much enjoy it. So like the breathing already is a component, right? Like you're restricting your airflow and you have to focus on breathing and making sure that you can breathe into pain and also just like not suffocate, you know, depending on, of course, like if there's neck rope or something along those lines, right?
That's
not really a big issue with the rope that I do, but I do really enjoy having something on my face, whether it be like a ball gag or having like my nose and my mouth covered with a cloth or even have like my eyes cover just something or maybe my whole face even. Mm-hmm. Like those are things that I thoroughly enjoy. I love having like rope in my mouth. I like having hair rope. It's like those little extra accoutrements, if you will, you know, that I'm like, make it that little bit extra spicy.
Yeah, extra spicy. And it's like, I think the senses part too. Mm-hmm. It's like the few times that I've had like a really good flogging session or fire session or something, there's also been like a component of that too, whether it was a blindfold or I think
what
a
do you ball get out
gag. I think it's also kind of makes me connect to my body more. Mm-hmm. Like it taps me in.
Mm-hmm.
And since most of those scenarios were at like sex parties, it also makes me like disconnect from everything else happening around me and more like stay in tune with like myself.
Yeah. It's so fascinating. So for the very first body performance I ever did at the play, right, I had a blindfold on. I didn't want to know who was coming up because I really enjoy audience engagement. And so like for that one, I had gone around and did something similar, like given like little wristbands or something like that to people that I was vibing with, and asked if they wanted to come and spank me. So I wasn't suspended for the first one. I was just placed on I had a little TK harness with my arms behind my back.
Nice.
And then they had like taken me out, you know what I mean? Done the whole thing, put my ass in the air, and then the people were allowed to come and spank me. But it was like, you know, they were like, did you really like it? Like, did you love like all the sensations. I was like, honestly, like I wasn't even thinking about everybody else. I was just like internalizing. I was so inside of myself, but I didn't say that, of course. I was like, I loved it, you know? Of course, I loved everything, you know what I mean? But it's, rope for me is like, I like to go inward, you know, and focusing on that. I don't really think about anybody else. I love being on display. Let's get real. I mean, for, I do also really love that component, like the exhibitionist part of it. And like,
yeah, that's part of your dancer side too, like the performance side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can relate to that too. It's fun to be kind of the center of attention.
Yeah, but like not know everyone's like not like you know that they're looking, you feel their eyes, but you're not, you don't see them looking. Yeah. You know, like that part to me is really nice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and also like I love this. Oh God, that the mask that you saw is one of my new favorites. It's like my friend Rosanna made it for me. I was like, I really have this idea I would really want to do. And she like custom made this piece for me along with this chugger, actually. Like it was a whole thing going on. Loved it. And I, but it like makes me not have to worry about like what my mouth is doing when I'm suspended too, right? That's like a thing, right? I realize that I hold a lot of tension in my face. And so like I can make my eyes look like they're relaxed, but it's really hard for me to make my mouth look like it's relaxed, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like a thing for me in that way too. It's like one less thing to worry about. And then I can just like focus on this.
Yeah,
right?
It makes you feel more comfortable and secure and yourself. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, is that mask like a little latex or was it just
that was
like
leather?
Leather. Mm-hmm. Okay,
it was a leather piece. Mm-hmm.
But you do a little bit of latex exploration, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
could you elaborate? Because there's a latex is a very common kink or fetish, in a sense. And so, is there something that you love about it? Like the rubberiness? Is it the sensations? Like,
yeah. So it's super tight, kind of like rope is, you know? And so like, I really love feeling that sort of tension around my body, like feeling compressed in a way. Mm-hmm. And of course, like the sensory stuff, right? I mean, I love when I have like my opera gloves on and I'm like putting on like the, whatever, the Vivishine stuff. And it's like the, you know, to gloss myself up and like the feeling of it. And then what other people get to feel too, like, I love that it draws so many people's attention. It's like, can I touch you? And I'm like, yes, you may. You know what I mean? So that's like a nice draw. And also like I had a mask made, like a full on hood essentially, right? With like the hair and all of the things done. And it's like playing, it's cosplay, you know? And so I was like from head to toe in latex at this event and people were like, oh my God, you know? And it was so cute. And I like, I love again, the attention, but it's like also who am I? You know, yeah, it's like, no one knows who I am.
Yeah, you're completely covered.
I'm just in this really cool costume, you know? And so, like, I don't know. There's, like, a component of that, too, like, the showiness of it that I really love and, like, how people get to creatively express themselves in their latex. And, you know, it's that's always so much fun for me as well. And, you know, they do make it so that you can wear your latex and still play. So that's also a really sweaty mess, but it's great.
So true. All the holes and the...
Yeah. I was like... Yeah, I'm down for that. So it's good.
Mm-hmm. Have you always been a pretty kind of like creative, playful person?
Yes. Even if it was stifled by previous relationships. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things. I feel like I've always been. And I think I've been able to step more into my element these last 6 years, right? And really feel like I can express myself comfortably. And I'm like really comfortable in my skin, yada, 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 right? So...
Yeah, a lot of people have, I mean, this kind of seems, I don't know if it's like your lifestyle. It seems like more of just like this artistic expression that you enjoy doing. Or do you feel like it is kind of like your passion, you know?
Yeah, I would say it's passion lifestyle for sure. I mean, my jobs have been very vanilla. I was like in cybersecurity, you know what I mean? I've been in entertainment and like doing program management stuff. So it's like, I got to keep it separate. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's that. And then, but... in my off time, you know, I'm like tying in front of my kids sometimes, right? It's like they aren't fazed by it. I'm trying to make it very normal. Like, I don't want it to be stigmatized, right? It's like, you know, I am trying to make it more of a lifestyle for myself as well. You know, I don't want, it's a lifestyle for sure. It's a passion, absolutely. And I don't see that going anywhere anytime soon. You know, it's like, ideally, like my future partner is going to also do rope. You know what I'm saying? Sure. It's like, or wants to be in rope, right? So it's like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be fun if you found a switch so then you guys could be in it.
Exactly.
Each other.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like, it's kind of humbling because it's just special that you're able to, destigmatize it with your kid and with your family and just feel comfortable like being yourself and showing them the beauty of expression.
Exactly.
Really, is mm-hmm. all that it is. So mm-hmm. I love that.
Same. And it's, you know, I understand that rope started from like a sexual component, you know what I mean? And it like derives a lot from that. And, but I also really am trying to do the art, like express the artistry side of it more mm-hmm. versus like, it's used as a tool for sex, right? It's, you know, I feel like that just undermines the whole thing, right? Because there's so many different layers. There's so many different ways that you can express yourself in all kinds of forms of art, right? And rope should not be exempt from that. Yeah, so I've been really enjoying trying to open the door to people who maybe are timid because they're like, well, do I have to have sex with this person? And I'm like, no, you do not. Like, yeah, it doesn't have to be that way, you know? And so it's been a really interesting thing to explore on multiple facets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. Do you feel like you've ever had a healing experience where it's been like a cathartic release or?
Absolutely. I have cried a handful of times in rope. Like, and a lot of times I will go into it because I am emotionally charged. And I, of course, will ask my rigor. I'm like, hey, you know, one of the questions oftentimes is like, how do you want to feel today? You know, and I'm like, you know, I'm actually coming with a lot of emotions today. I'm probably going to get really upset and cry if we can maybe just not have it be so intense today or something like that. Right. Mm. And it is, it's like one of those things where as soon as the rope, it's a comfort, right? For me, rope is always so grounding. It's way for me to like get back into my body. I don't know if I feel more inside my body than I do when I'm in rope, you know? So it's like such a nice way to reconnect with myself. And so, yeah, when you are overwhelmed with emotions and you're like now in a safe space and you can just release, it's happened a handful of times. I mean, I have a bunny too that or bottom or bottle, however you want to call them, that had her first experience crying in rope recently, you know, that I was her rigor for. And it's like, it, I don't know what it does. It's a comfort, right? Especially when you are with somebody and you feel so safe with them and it's something that you so thoroughly enjoy. And then it's like, you're also having to process pain in this, you know, because it's not like it's not painful. So all of that together, it really does. It's been, I don't want to use the word therapy or therapeutic because no, but also
in a way,
yes, exactly. It does. It makes me feel better. It sure does. And yeah, I've had a lot of emotional releases and even just on a regular session when I am having like an intense play with a friend or whatever. In those moments too, you are repeatedly met with like dopamine hits, right? Because of like the pain over and over and over again mm-hmm. in whatever sequence I'm doing. And afterward, it's a thing called being rope drunk. So you get this high, you know, yeah. And even that in itself is like such a nice release. It's like, oh God, now I can just like lay here and relax for a minute. My head is in a different planet at the moment and my body's recovering and I feel great. And you know, so.
It's another way to, intentionally connect. And and I do think a lot of people who even haven't explored the kinky realm have had a sort of emotional release sexually where you're in the heat of arousal or the peak of arousal with a partner and you just can't help but cry. Like, I feel like a lot of us have experienced that.
Yeah.
And so I do think it's, yeah, it's a, it is like this a sense of release and just like connection. Mm-hmm. And so it's special to be able to educate people on that too. And so it's not all about, you know, the sex and
100%.
There's so much more to it.
Yeah. And one of the things I don't tend to practice is pickup rope.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, we can keep going. Okay.
That's really cute.
We do have Kit's son here with us, or your little kiddo.
Indeed.
So, yeah. Anyways, let's get into, you know, a lot of people think that like fetishes are this, or, you know, some people have fetishes that stem from like a young age. Mm-hmm. You know, do you feel like any of these have like started at a young age for you? Or,
you know, I was thinking about that the other day. I don't know if they started at a young age for me. I always knew that I didn't feel normal in a way, right? Yeah. And like, I mean, I started masturbating when I was like 9, you know? And then of course, like in comes mom and it's like, shame on you for doing this. And I'm like, what do you mean? It feels so good, you know? And it's like that, you know, the whole like repressed parent family lifestyle, that sure as hell happened. So it's like, that was, I always wanted to go against all of it, right? Anything that seemed normalized. And I didn't really have exposure, I would say, when I was younger. You know, I remember like watching gay porn for the first time and being like, oh my God, this is amazing! You know what I mean? And like, I was so little, but I never had the exposure, you know? And I think that's always a thing. It's like lack of exposure, lack of experience. Like, you don't know what you don't know, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I don't think any of it was like when I was super young, I was like, I have to go explore this thing, right? I did really love climbing, and that involves ropes, and it so quickly to me, like just doing the knots and everything. I was like, oh, I have like a natural knack for this, you know? And so, but I never would have dreamed of suspending myself in it at that time, you know? It was just something I was like, oh, I really like this, and this is cool. And I remember one time in high school, my friends thought it would be funny to hog tie me. And so, like, I fought them tooth and nail, of course. You know what I mean? I was like, I am no. And what they did, they got me into hog tie, and then I got myself out of it. Like, before they came back with the camera, because back then we didn't have phones on our cameras, or cameras on our phones, right? So it was like, they had to, like, run downstairs, get a camera, and come back upstairs. And by the time I had the rope in front of me all, like, folded. And it's, like, moments like that in my past, I reflect on, I'm like, oh, was that the start of something else that I wasn't, like, really understanding at the time, perhaps, you know? And who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah, it is. We're not exposed to a lot of this stuff, but now like the younger generations are, mm-hmm. which is totally shifting everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I do feel like it's tough for us to really find ourselves when there were all these stigmas that were, mm-hmm. I just felt very sheltered as a kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's so fun to see like the generations now coming and just being like so much more, I don't know, full of life and like experience and learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it really is. It's the exposure thing, you know, even like asking my kid, I'm like, what kind of things interest you right now? And I'm like, God, it's really only the stuff that I'm exposing them to, or like their dad's exposing them to. Right. Like, otherwise, how do they know? Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just such an interesting, I don't know. It's interesting.
It is. It's fascinating. Yeah. And for those people that can't see us today, I do want to say, like, we're both dressed in our little fetish fashion a little bit today.
indeed.
For those that are not watching.
Have our little chokers on. Yeah. You know, I love this. Feeling it's very good. Cute. Mm-hmm.
Do you like to dress up often? When I saw you at the play, you looked amazing.
Thank you.
Is this something that you like to do in your everyday life, too?
Oh, yeah. I love playing dress up. I love, you know, I don't have, like, a certain aesthetic that I adhere to either, because some days it's like, I wanna look like, I don't know, super femme and like girly, or like wearing pink or something. You know what I mean? And other days I wanna look like I'm going to a funeral, you know, or like, I don't know, who freaking knows? Sometimes I wanna look like a little housewife, you know what I mean? Like with little A-line dresses and stuff. I love it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, I really enjoy dressing up.
Yeah, it's fun to tap into different energies.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's so sad when one person has like one look. Mm-hmm. Of course, more power to them. But I'm like, don't you have like multifaceted personalities? Like, don't you want to do more things? Like, don't you want to explore those things?
You know? Do you have a wig wall?
Like, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Exactly. I do have wigs.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites. So I used to dye my hair a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I like pink, blue, purple. Mm-hmm. And it was like the kind of temporary dye. Mm-hmm. So it would wash out.
Yeah.
And so I always just did different ombre colors in all of it. And
then
I just kind of got sick of it. And I think maybe I just wore a wig for Halloween one year, and I was like, wait, I should be doing this. Like, this is easier, and it's like so much more intense.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And so now, I have a whole wig wall now.
So love that. I love that. I wish I was better at putting them on. I probably would have more as well, but like dressing up for sure.
Yeah, it's fun.
I need a whole closet for things. You know what I mean? I like have it shoved into a drawer, and it makes me so sad. I'm like, you all should be on display.
Yeah, I did that recently where I took them out of the drawer and I have them on the wall now in the closet, which is fun.
Yeah.
So you're also, like, you're kind of a part of the lifestyle, right? Mm-hmm. Do you consider yourself, I mean, you said you were married.
I was.
But that wasn't, like, the healthiest or exploring
style. It just wasn't the most fun.
Do you feel like you are kind of in this ethical non-monogamy space or just kind of exploration phase? Or
That's a good question. I feel like been all over the board. And so I was very poly for a very long time, I think. I would say like there was a monogamous relationship that happened in the last 6 years that was about a year, year and a half. And then I was like, no, thank you. And but I have dated married couples. I've been that unicorn. I have had multiple relationships at one time and been poly, solo poly, ethically non-monogamous, which, I mean, what is ethically not monogamous. I can debate that word, that phrase, for a very long time.
Well, it's just such a spectrum. So everyone has their own rules and boundaries.
Exactly. So that's really the important stuff, whatever you name it, you know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yeah, mm-hmm. Very good point. I love that. Mm-hmm.
But
what do you like?
Pardon?
What do you like?
What do I like? What do you mean?
Well, I just mean for ethical non-monogamy, you know, it's like such a big umbrella. So like, is it that you...
I just think it's a throwaway word because okay, so you're not cheating. That makes us ethically non-monogamous. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, right? Or like, are you? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm also not a big fan of labels, I suppose, right? It's, you kind of craft this like life that you want and you make the boundaries that you want. You set the intentions that you want. And like, people will always try to like box it and be like, this is what that's called. Mm-hmm. I don't love that. That's not how I like to live my life. So, but for lack of better words, I am moving into a more, I would say, monogamous phase of my life. Like, I have a lot of love to give and I love my friends so deeply and stuff like that. But as far as like a partner or partners go, right, it's like, I'm ready to focus back on just one person and invest in that.
Yeah, that commitment is really special.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and in the labels too. I agree. It's tough. It's tough because we grew up with labels, and it was such a big thing.
Or lack of labels, even. We didn't have all of these words that we have now. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was not something we had definitions for. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's just sometimes I catch myself in these conversations, like, you know, talking about sexuality and all these things, and it's like we don't really need to define as anything.
Yeah.
It's just like who you are and what makes you authentically you. Mm-hmm. But it's tough for people to like fully understand without like sometimes making it more of a definitive, like, label kind of in a way.
Yeah, so it's like, well, people need to quantify and qualify everything. Yeah, it's like, right. It's like something that humans really desire, right? So it's I get it.
Yeah, I get it too, but it's nice to move into a space where at least what I'm trying to do is just to like welcome, like, just being authentically you.
Yeah.
And still talking about who you love and what you like, but making it, even kinks and fetishes sometimes can be so specific, but I think that can be really scary for people to like bring it up in a relationship when you don't have to be like, yo, I'm into this like specific kink. You can just like say, hey, this is something that I like, you know, or it's a little bit more approachable in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyways.
Yeah, no, it's good. Like, even polyamory, right? I feel like it's really blowing up, right? I think that there has been like this trajectory since I was introduced to it 6 years ago where a lot of people are trying to have relationships like that. But I think that there's also a common misconception because anytime I meet someone who's like, oh, I'm exploring poly, and I'm like, what does that mean to you? You know? I'm like, well, I don't want to just like expect everything out of one partner. I'm like, okay. I was like, that's, you know what I mean? I was like, that's fine. But also like, you're maintaining multiple relationships at one time. That is what this is. That's what this means, right? Like, it doesn't just, and then the fact that they're exploring it just because they're like, well, I can't put all my expectations in this one person. Like, who said it should be a thing anyway? Like, you should never have ever, I don't know where this fucking concept came from. It drives me crazy. Clearly, I'm really upset about it. But I'm like, what happened to having friends? What happened to having family? Like, obviously, you should be distributing all of those like things amongst all of your people, right? Like, thinking that you can get everything out of one person who is like your partner, you know, like, that is insane to me, right? I just don't understand how like we got to this point. I keep hearing it over and over again, which is so fascinating to me, but. Either way,
it's
tangent. Yeah.
No, it's true though. It's a lot of people get into this space for the wrong reasons, or they don't fully understand why.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
or the words they're using.
Yeah, yeah. So again, it's like us educating and bringing awareness to these facets. I think is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Then also, you know, I don't know, from the teaching perspective, it's like I get imposter syndrome all the time. I'm like, who am I to say anything? Like, what does my opinion matter? You know what I mean? But we've all got opinions, so whatever. It's like a thing. And yeah, lots of lessons.
Mm-hmm. Do you, speaking of teaching, I know you had your first class last week. Is that something that you want to do more of?
I would, yeah. And I have another class with Delilah next month. It's a bit more advanced in tech. Techniques and stuff like that. It's not going to be so introductory as the one I was teaching. But yeah, I'm looking forward to doing more of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It feels good.
Good. Yeah. You got to do what feels good.
Yeah. And people were super receptive. And you know, it's always like the one thing too, right? It's like, if I were to go into this position thinking I was going to be a badass and then I came out of it and like people were like, nah, girl, like don't do that, you know, like that'd be one thing, but it wasn't that. It was all like, oh my God, it's amazing, right? So it's like, that's intoxicating a bit as well, right? It's just validating and whatnot. And yeah, choosing a path for that moving forward.
Yeah, it's a little addicting, that adrenaline and mm-hmm. that, like we talked about before.
Yeah.
And I never mentioned when you said this earlier, but you know, you talked about, this was in the beginning of our conversation, like asking, I really love that question that you ask before you get into a session or mm-hmm. a rig or whatever, where you say like, how do you want to feel today? Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think that's so, you know, a lot of us forget to tap into our feelings. And I think mm-hmm. that's like the biggest part of these experiences mm-hmm. is like, how do you want this to make you feel? Yeah. And I think even before any pleasure session, 'cause there's so many different directions you can go. I think that's like a really good way to like say, hey, this is what I'm feeling today. This is kind exactly. of the way I want.
Yeah. Where's your head? Where's your heart? Where's your body? Mm-hmm. Like, how is it all feeling? Let's talk about that first. And you know, one of the things I really love too, from the body perspective, I have a rigger and I've started picking up on this myself as well, is like when the bottom or your model is stretching before a session, like watching how they move their body, you know what I mean? That also helps you kind of like get some awareness on like where that person's at, you know what I mean? And taking that in, it's all the data. I love data.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so like even like the nonverbal cues, you know, like taking okay. and observing that is also really important and fun. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's your analytical side too. Mm-hmm. You were talking about your little business totally. Side of your brain, uh-huh. analyzing everything. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I do also love to ask, you know, as we're kind of wrapping things up, well, mm-hmm. well, we kind of talked, is there any other kinks that you were like super into that you'd be open Ooh. To share? Uh-huh. Just to normalize them a little bit?
Sure. You know, there were certain, I mean, yeah, I didn't think I was going to like having someone spit in my mouth, for example. Oh, and like, yeah. I fucking love that. You know, clean mouth though. You gotta have a clean mouth, right?
Yes, of course.
Like things like that. And I didn't think impact was something that I was going to really enjoy, which I know seems a little bit counterintuitive considering I do rope, but like impact was something like the thuddiness versus stinging stuff is things I'm trying to explore yeah. a bit more. Yeah. Don't love it as much as some people who have like gnarly bruising after. I love bruises, but not from that, you know? Yeah. And I guess role-playing was something that I never really thought that I was going to enjoy as much as I do, but I think that also kind of goes hand-in-hand with, like, playing dress-up a bit, you know?
Yeah,
and definitely. Then having those, like, power dynamics, and I do some dominatrix stuff also, so it's like, you know, I get to play both sides, and the switchiness comes out, which is really great. Yeah, I mean,
I love that.
For high levels, just a few.
Just a few.
Yeah.
But they're all connected, like the power play of rope, mm-hmm. and yeah, all of that. It's
yeah.
Yeah, we're just kinky people.
I think so, yeah. And it's like, also, I don't know what I don't know. So, like, surprise me, you know? Mm-hmm. I would love to be surprised. I yeah. would be, you know, so good.
So true. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is the Sweet Release podcast, and uh-huh. we do talk a lot about orgasms. Mm-hmm. So, when, I would love to know that last time you had that sweet release.
Uh-huh. It was just 2 days ago.
Woohoo!
Indeed. And like, it was really good, actually. Yeah, and, yeah, I don't know. What yeah. else do you want to know about
well, that? Any and all details you're willing to share. Was it solo? Was it partnered?
Yeah, that one was solo. Nice. But it was, I have a long distance partner. And so like had been exchanging pictures and some nice. Videos and stuff like that. And I miss him. So I was, you know, it was great. It was a self-pleasure that I got to share long distance.
Yeah, a little cyber sex.
Exactly.
Right?
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
It's rewarding in a different way because there's yeah. like this disconnection between you, but then it's also,
but you also feel tethered in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, there's like this really lovely connection that's happening. And like, as long as both people have set time apart, a time aside, I mean, and like are engaging quickly, mm-hmm. it works really well. Right. So,
yeah. mm-hmm. so fun.
Yeah. It was good.
Well, thanks for sharing and thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Opening up about all of this. I mm-hmm. think it's awesome what you do. I'm going to have to come to one of your classes. Yes, I think please. That would be so fun. That'd I need fun. To be suspended. Maybe mm-hmm. you could be my first suspension.
That would be cute. I would do it.
Yeah. I think we should make that happen. Yeah.
For sure. Deal.
Well, thanks, Kit. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Barbie.
See you next time.
Okay.